Welcome to Amplifying Leadership. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Kristen Quattlebaum. Kristen helps emerging and existing leaders develop their intuition. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, Kristen, and I hope I pronounced your last name correctly.
You did. Thank you so much, Tara.
I'm so happy to have you here today. But before we get into our major piece of our conversation, why don't you help our audience know a little bit more about you and your leadership story?
Yeah, so my background is in corporate. Coming out of college, my corporate career and path was very, very important to me. So I dove straight in and started climbing the ladder. And I was offered a lot of opportunities. I had a lot of mentorship in corporate, and I was given a lot of opportunities, even to be trained to be on the C-suite of the bank that I worked for, and just a lot of fast-track leadership stuff happening for me in my career. And what I found for me was that along the way, I just wasn't feeling fulfilled. Every time that I had an achievement, I just kept asking, what's next? What's next? What's next?
Right. Yeah.
So from there, I started my journey through therapy and then coaching and meditation. And I, in my last two roles in corporate small business world, I ended up being hired to help change the culture of two different organizations. And so I was on the leadership team of both of those organizations, really just spearheading change and culture in both of those spaces. And ultimately, both of those positions were eliminated. And after a very successful corporate run, I had taken it as a sign from the universe to get out of corporate and start my business. And that's what I did in March of 2019.
That's excellent. And it culture changes. I mean, I also was one of the leaders that helped do some of that as well. And man, that is a tough one when you're trying to change a culture. So to lead that, very impressive. Well done. So let me ask you about this then. So obviously there's been some challenges because you were growing and growing and you would get stuck once in a while, things like that. How did you overcome that? Was that moving into your own business, or did you have some challenges that you faced that you overcame as you grew? What are your thoughts on that?
One of the biggest things that I learned for myself actually was reading the book Strengths Finders.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so for me, what it really did was it shifted me away from, you know, like, what are my weaknesses? Where do I need to correct? I was always taking all the courses and classes and training and all the things. And that book really helped me shift into what are the strengths that I can bring to the team. So I started advocating for myself quite a bit and just asking for what I wanted. I feel like a lot of people will jump ship when they're not happy in a space, as opposed to really asking for what they want. And at the end of the day, a lot of leaders don't know what their people want. If they're well connected with their people, sometimes there's just not an open enough space for people to express. And so I've always been a big advocate of asking for what you want. And then at the end of the day, if that doesn't happen for you or it doesn't come into alignment, then move on to the next thing. So I think it was a lot of advocating and asking for what I wanted and really becoming confident in the skills that I brought to the table.
I love that, because part of my story way back when, 25 plus years ago, was advocating for myself in my company that I was working for to move into a position I had no experience in because I wanted to stay with them. But the current position, just like you, I was bored with it. I needed something more. And they gave me the position, and it led to me eventually leading the company in Canada. So, you know, you do really have to advocate for yourself. I wholeheartedly agree with that, because if you don't tell people what you want, how are they ever going to know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I love that you brought that up. So So let's get back to culture and leadership, because I know that's a topic you're passionate about, obviously, from your past experiences as well. Why does this resonate with you so strongly?
So much, especially for those of you still in corporate, in the corporate world, or even the small business space, so much of our life becomes about work. And so I've always been just, again, a big advocate of loving what you do and showing up to a space. We have to spend so much time there. So why not love it? Why not enjoy it while we're there? So I found myself along the way wanting to step out of the boxes that I felt placed in different cultures. And I've always been a big proponent of expression and self-expression. So creating spaces that it was safe to express that, and know and trust that when you are expressing yourself fully and saying what you need or what you would like to see in the company, if that expression is not meant with an open heart, with an open mind, I've always said to myself, I don't want to be in a company that doesn't invite that in anyways. And so I've always just, sort of challenged that space of, I'm gonna push my expression. I'm going to put it out there and see how I'm met in return. And just really creating those spaces that people want to be in, want to thrive in. Because if we're hindered or tempered in who we are in those spaces, then how is the culture itself, how is the company in its full expression, even if the people within it are tempered?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that as well. And I think you need to have a really good culture fit when you're working for a company. And I think that that really needs to come from the culture, but then also leaders. And I think that leads into a question I have for you is, how can we lead by example when we want our employees who report maybe direct or indirect to us? How can we lead by example to A, ensure there's a fit for everybody, but B, also to ensure that they're fitting. So are we recognizing things maybe that they don't fit with the culture? So it's kind of a two-sided question there.
Yeah, one thing that I used to do when I would interview was, because so many people come in to interviews very nervous and wanting to say the quote unquote right thing in front of whoever, whoever they're in front of. And I've always liked to take the pressure off that and say, listen, like if this is like, I just want you to talk to me human to human and feel into if this is as much of a fit for you as I am feeling into.
Love it.
You know, we're basically meeting in the middle and deciding if this is a fit here, right? So I think that one of the things that we can do, even as far as like looking at job descriptions and really deciding, is this what we want in the organization? Like, for example, I used to work at a software engineering company. And one of the things that we did was actually pull back the requirements for having a degree in engineering, because so many people who do software development grow up as kids playing in that world and they're incredible software developers. So why would I hold this standard for them when, if I have, some genius walking off the street, doesn't have an educational background that fits in our description? It's, to me, it's about really opening up the lines of creating a space for somebody to show up and again demonstrate who they are in its fullest expression so that then the fit can be determined. And I think that also to flip that fits in is the leader. And their expression, are they really in their own happiness and fulfillment and speaking and coming to work from a space of liberation as opposed to being in constriction? Because I think when the leader is also self-expressed, then they can hold space for someone else self-expressing and they're showing up without resentment in a space. Like they can really be themselves in a space. They have the freedom to be themselves. And so they're going to look for the same in others and really recognize what is it that makes our culture tick, as opposed to who do we think we need and do we hire for skill versus the true energetic fit.
And I love that you brought that up, by the way, that do they need that degree? That's a checkbox. I mean, that is not always your ideal candidate, just because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, those people went to school, they're probably very strong candidates, but that doesn't mean, as you said, especially in the tech sectors, that that person who has been using that tablet or playing those games since they were two doesn't have the experience equivalent to something like that. And, you know, I think it's really important. And I love that you did this, which is create the conversation around the interview rather than it be, I'm the boss, you're the, you know, candidate, and we're just going to have these, you know, questions, which maybe in some cases that makes sense. But to have a conversation where we can eliminate some of those quote unquote checkboxes that just eliminate people when you could have an ideal candidate right there on the street, like you mentioned. So if we're not kind of like that type of culture right now as leaders, how can we then adjust ourselves, maybe a couple tips, where we can then turn our interviews into conversations so that we are hiring a good fit for our company?
Mm-hmm. The first thing I would say is get really clear on what you want in the role. Mm-hmm. Job description aside, just who is the person that I want to work alongside? Even going back to StrengthsFinders, like I was naive enough back then to think if I had a team of Kristens, we would be rock stars. And that's not right. That's not how you want to build teams, right? So who is the person that I actually want walking alongside me, not looking through my own bias of, you know, is this person like me? Do I, you know, is this a spitting image of me sitting in front of me basically? Or is this somebody that actually would be great in collaboration with what we're trying to build in this space, right? So I think having that clarity is really beautiful. And then also, again, like checking in on your own alignment. I think that the alignment in a culture starts with leadership, right? So if leadership is just ticking boxes and showing up every day, then that's exactly the culture that they're going to create. So really just being, taking that self-leadership and responsibility, that radical responsibility to say, am I in integrity? Am I in alignment in this space? And knowing that I am where it starts. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just a must in that space.
And it's a lot of lead by example. You know, I mean, if you want these people to, maybe you do instill a great culture and you're hiring people and you want that as well, you need to lead by that positive example. I think it's really important when it comes to culture and leadership that we are always leading by example and the expectation and doing what we say we're going to do, not just saying it. Do you have any additional thoughts on that?
The thing that comes to mind when you ask that question actually is change. I think that in order for us to really stay prevalent in the industries that we're in, we have to be open and willing to change. And as I said, check in on that alignment, because that to me is a part of change. And really being honest with yourself about, am I open to change? Do I say that I'm open to change, but I'm really not? I remember reading an article way back when about being open-minded versus closed-minded. And I always thought I'm super open-minded. Like I'm a change advocate. I'm the one that's like, let's change the world, you know?
Right.
And reading that article, it brought up a lot of things that I was like, wow, like I can do this sometimes. I can be closed-minded. I can have this tendency. And so just really being self-aware, I think is really important to create that space that allows for change to occur. So I think being self-aware and understanding, am I open to change, is important.
And I think, and you've alluded to it a couple times now, is the whole power of self-reflection as leaders, especially around culture and changes, right? I mean, if we can do that self-reflection or even know our strengths and weaknesses, that can help us with developing our future leaders or with making cultural changes or change in general, right? Let me ask you this. I know you've worked with different companies, as you've mentioned, with some cultural shifts. Are there ways that you have seen that have worked and not worked in leadership that maybe you can share with our audience so we can learn from your lessons in the past so that we can be better leaders when these types of culture shifts need to change?
So I've always been a big change advocate, as I mentioned. So I've always been the one that is like, well, let's, rip the Band-Aid off and fix it at the root. Or, I've always asked a lot of questions and put myself in those spaces of growth. And one of the things I would say right off the bat, just coming from being on the other side, where I was an employee, I was still in leadership, but not from the space of being able to impact culture. I would say listening to your employees that are bringing something forth to you. So, like, for example, one of the things that I was bringing forth was in a company that I was in a fast track leadership program. And by the time I was done with that leadership program, half of the group had left. And I sat down, we were mentoring with all the heads, all this C-suite and everything. And I had asked the head of HR at that time, like, when are we going to have the conversation about attrition and the people leaving this program? And I was just met with deer in the headlights. I also at the time asked that company for organizational development. Like, I was exploring my career path there. And when I asked about organizational development, because I said, I think this is what I'm interested in, I was told that it doesn't exist in that company. And that was where it was left. It was a huge, like, 17,000 person company. So yeah.
That's
So
surprising.
I think that's the first thing, right? Is like really not just taking what the employees say with a grain of salt. Sometimes I think we can build this barrier between like the employees and leadership. And so that's on one side. On the other side of it, being a part of two companies, one of them was a software company, the other one was a law firm. Again, one of the things I would say is don't dismiss the qualitative data. One of the things that I was met with was, we don't have the numbers behind it to back up what you're saying, then we can't do anything about it, right? We just don't trust it. And so I remember one time I had shared with the president of the one company that this TED talk about big data, and the whole TED talk was about how Nokia hired this person to go out and discover the next thing in cell phones. And she came back and she went and sat in all these coffee shops and came back and basically said, you need to create a smartphone, is basically what she said. People want computers in their hands. That's the next big thing. And Nokia scoffed at it and said, we don't have the data to prove that. We don't believe that. And what happened? Nokia went out of business. Right. So we can't dismiss just because we don't have data. And I find that the bigger the company, the more that they're going to tend to want to have data behind it. Being willing to take a chance and invest in something that you know and believe will turn things around is really, it's a risk worth taking.
So you mentioned a couple of times, things like listening, communicating, and feedback. And I love feedback from employees because that's who we learn from. That's where we find out information, like the person that you were mentioning about in the coffee shop. And if we don't communicate and we don't listen to those people, we may not know what's needed in our culture or in a business in general. I mean, look what happened, as you said, to Nokia, right? I mean, it's so important that we listen and we communicate well. Do you have any thoughts about around the communication side of things when it comes to culture shifts within an organization, maybe a tip or two?
I've always been a big proponent of transparency. I mean, I was transparent to a fault, I think more than leadership wanted to be me to be sometimes, but I just believe in it wholeheartedly. If it's not something that's really sensitive, like an acquisition or something like that, then I really wanted to openly communicate to people. So that's definitely one piece. You know, with open communication, I think that, again, being really honest where you can sense that people are being open back, right? So when you open up, like, what changes do you want to see in the organization, or asking for engagement, what feedback do you have? And you notice that people are tempered, or you have things going on in the organization, like if you have 360 feedback happening and yet you are asking for feedback to happen off survey as opposed to on the survey, things like that are not, it's breeding a culture of like secrets is what it feels like to me. You know, like I'm not somebody that would say something anonymously, you know, and not to your face. Like I've always wanted to have those open conversations, even if they're difficult. And to me, it was never confronting. It was just a necessary part of business. And then as two humans navigating that conversation, I think we have to, you know, manage our own triggers and emotions through those conversations. It's the only way to move things forward. If we're having conversations that are under the table, or it's only safe to share with somebody what you feel through an anonymous survey, then it's not a good culture. I mean, these are signs that I wouldn't ignore if they're happening. And as leaders, you know that they're happening.
There's always that behind the, the talk type thing. And I agree. I think if you're not getting feedback and people are only wanting that anonymous survey or questions or whatever, that is a true sign that there is some sort of block or barrier in the culture from being open, valuing your employees being heard and them feeling included. So yeah, I agree with you. I think look for that sign, right? That's a key one. If people aren't willing to share their thoughts with you, then there might be something there. So let's put all of this together, everything that you've kind of just give us the tips, tricks, and information today. Is there one key takeaway that you could give our audience that could help them if they're having any roadblocks with regards to culture or with their leadership around it?
I mean, the first thing that comes up is be true to yourself. You know, as leaders, whether we are in a space of leadership or striving to be in that space, the best thing that we can do is really be in our own expression and encourage other people to stay true to themselves too, because I think that sometimes in a world that celebrates production and the doing, we can look beyond happiness and fulfillment and just really celebrate that activity, right? And so sometimes I think that it can be easy to hold people back, even if they're high producers. And it's one of the worst coming, like speaking as a high performer, it's one of the worst things that you can do to us.
Yeah, you could lose those people really nice and quick,
Yeah.
right?
So I think that when it comes to shifting culture and making those big moves, they will pay off in the end, but you have to be willing to know that there's going to be some fallout along the way because of the missteps that happened in the beginning, because of the we're going to hire for skill, we're going to hire for productivity. When you're bringing a culture back into alignment, you have to be willing to lose some people along the way, even if they're amazing. but they're not a fit for the culture. If you really want to build a space, the more you align with that culture, hiring becomes so natural. It becomes this well-oiled machine. Attrition falls away. It pays off in the end. But a lot of leaders, I think, are worried about that disruption in the beginning without really holding on to the vision, which is their job as a leader. Hold the vision and just be relentless with it.
And you're right. In the long term, it works out. I mean, you get happier workplace, happier employees. You may even have happier customers. There's so many things that can come from just starting and just dealing with that little bit of disruption. It gets better. So thank you so much for joining us today. I'm wondering if our guests wanted to learn more about you, is there a way they can find you online?
Yeah, my website is kqunplugged.co.
Excellent. I love that. And thank you so much for sharing your experiences and tips today and opening up for us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
A thank you, of course, to our audience. We both hope you are able to gain some valuable information or tips from Kristen today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, or community are the way to grow in your journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Lake Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader for leader to be.